Welcome to Comic Talk Today for Monday, December 10th, 2018. Oh my god, I'm at home on a Monday. It's crazy. We had snow this past weekend, and I said, you know what, I'm just going to take the day off. But the roads are great, so it's not because I don't feel like driving in the snow. The roads are actually pretty clear. I mean, I'm in the south. There's not that much snow. Anyways, we're not talking about my snow experiences. We're here to talk about the cancellation of Daredevil. Now, I know this is kind of maybe old news. This happened, what, last week or the week before? I don't know. But I hadn't had a chance to talk about it. So I wanted to take a little bit of time on this episode of Comic Talk Today to talk about the cancellation of Daredevil. Now, of course, this is important because I talked about this a few weeks ago when they canceled Luke Cage and Iron Fist. It seems like Marvel over at Netflix may be completely done. Now, we still have season 2 of The Punisher coming out. We still have season 3 of Jessica Jones coming out. But I would expect once those shows come out, maybe not immediately the week they come out, but after a couple weeks, they'll announce the cancellation of those as well. I mean, you don't want to have totally negative marketing, right? You want to give people some time to watch the shows before you tell them it's going to be canceled. But let's be real. We all know that they're going to be canceled if they're canceling, for example, Daredevil, which is by far the most popular of all the shows. Now, I've seen a lot of information about all these show cancellations over the last couple weeks. There's been, rumors coming from this side and that side and the other side. There's official statements coming from Netflix, official statements coming from Marvel, official statements coming from the writers, from the actors, and it's kind of hard to piece all that stuff together, right? Because when you get all this information, a lot of times, in particular with something like this happening, right, where, I mean, when this deal was announced 5 years ago, five-ish years ago, everyone was very excited, right? We're going to get all these Marvel shows on Netflix. It's going to be high-quality productions because we all knew Netflix was able to do high-quality original programming. So everyone was very excited. And now with these cancellations, of course, the cancellations also receive quite a bit of news from all the popular, you know, news sites, media sites, TV sites, movie sites, comic book sites. And it's hard to piece some of that information together. I'm sure there's plenty of people talking about this in forums, if forums are still a thing. I'm sure there's plenty of Marvel Facebook groups that are talking about this whole thing. And I wanted to take some time to maybe go through this information and see what seems like real information and what seems like, I don't want to say fake information, but maybe people jumping to conclusions at first. And of course, towards the end, I'm going to do a little ranting on this whole subject and maybe talk a little bit about the things that I think are going to happen with the future of these TV shows. So yes, we all already know Luke Cage was canceled, Iron Fist is canceled, now Daredevil's canceled. Now, Daredevil Season 3 just came out. It seemed to get pretty high praise. I think the Rotten Tomatoes score on this thing is like 90% overall for the series, so I would say that's pretty damn successful. As a matter of fact, I saw recently a study that came out. I don't know if it's a study, but there were some analytics that came out by Parrot Analytics that talked about the popularity of the show. And apparently Daredevil still ranked in the top 5 most popular Netflix shows, behind some that, you know, you would consider obviously should be on there, like, for example, Stranger Things. Now, this study also said that in the last week, right, so the week of the announcement of the cancellation, the series received 300 million positive in-demand responses. So I don't know if that means that 30, did I say 300? I meant to say 30. I don't know if it means that 30 million people watch this show, but if that's the case, that's pretty insane that 30 million people would want to watch this. Of course, it doesn't tell me if they watch the entire season or if they just watch like an episode or two. I have to be honest, I haven't even started watching Daredevil. And there's a reason for that. I think there's just way too much stuff to consume right now. And, you know, when all these shows first started coming out, and I'm not just talking about the Netflix Marvel shows, but in general, right? So we had, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we had Jessica Jones, Daredevil, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, Punisher, The Defenders, you have shows like The Gifted, you have all the CW shows, now we have Titans. Pretty soon we'll have Young Justice, and then we'll have Doom Patrol and Swamp Thing. I mean, there's just so many of these things. And I gotta be honest, there's only so much time that I have in a day. And I have no doubt that there's plenty of people that watch these things immediately when they come out. In fact, I remember when these shows first started coming out, that was exactly how I watched them. And I know for a fact, even though I may not remember these things, because I do remember doing podcasts on these shows. where we'd watch like the entire season in a day or two, right? The binge watching, and then record an episode over the weekend and put it out. And that was fine at the time, but now the more I think about it, and I don't know if I've just gotten really weird over the last few months, and that's very possible. I've made a lot of changes in my life to try to make things easier for myself. And one of the things that I've done is try not to spend as much time consuming media, because really I want to spend more time creating media. And that's one of my goals for the next year. And I'm not going to talk about it today, but there's going to be a couple of announcements for this show, for Comic Talk Today, for 2019, because I'm going to be bringing a co-host in. And we're going to do some really cool stuff. I'm not talking about it today. That's just a tease. Congratulations, you've been teased. But more on that, probably by the end of the week, I'll talk a little bit about that. And I remember doing this thing, right? And the thing is, by now, it's something that I don't really want to do anymore. And there's a reason for that. And if you're the kind of person that does a podcast and wants to do that kind of thing, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I would say that the majority of people would prefer that, right? So it's a good way to, if you're doing a podcast, to get some additional listenership, or if you're doing YouTube, maybe viewership, if you're like on the nose with everything, right? So as soon as something is announced or some big news happens, you talk about it immediately or that same day, and really within 24 hours. Because after 24 hours, let's be honest, people just don't have the time, patience, and or ability to concentrate enough or remember enough to really care. Now, I try not to do that anymore. Sometimes I might do, if there's like something really big that I want to talk about, maybe I'll do it within a day. But at least for TV shows and things like that, I try not to do it. Because I want to be able to enjoy these shows, right? And I hope that many of you are trying to do the same thing. And I know that the reactions that I've seen over the last couple months have been exactly that, right? Where a show that's put out weekly like Titans, people may watch it that same weekend, if not that same day. But doing these things weekly actually, I think, makes it more special, right? For a long time, we were stuck in this binge culture, and there's still plenty of people that are in this binge culture, so don't get me wrong. And if you're those people, then good for you. But for a long time, it felt like the majority of us were in this binge-watching culture, where as soon as something came out, you had to watch it. And now that seems to be not as much the case, right? I saw some interesting discussions about this when Titans was announced, when DC had said, hey, this is going to be a weekly show, and in fact, all the shows are going to be done weekly. And some people were like, well, I just want to watch the whole thing. But the thing is, this brings us this to the, like, this spoiler culture aspect of things, right? Where if you watch the entire thing, you immediately want to talk about it. What about the people that don't have time for that? Or the people that don't have the funds to go and subscribe to a service like this and devote 8, 10, 13, 16 hours of their life over a day or two to watch these things? And again, that may be partially, you know, the way that I've changed some of my aspects on how I consume media, but I think that should be a general rule for a lot of folks. And again, if you want to watch everything at once, by all means, go for it. But there's something about making it more special by not watching everything at once. And I'm not saying that any of this has to do with the cancellation of any of these Marvel Netflix shows. In fact, I would say it has zero to do with the cancellation of these shows. But Netflix has been known to always just put out an entire season and release it. But the thing with that is you receive a lot of buzz very quickly, and a lot of people watch it very quickly, but then what? Then you're stuck waiting 8, 10, 12 months for the next season. And that may work for a company like Netflix because they release a lot of stuff. In fact, I saw one of the issues, one of the arguments for the cancellation of this, which I think is complete bollocks. And I don't think I've ever used bollocks in a sentence before, so that's a first. But I think it's complete bollocks that Netflix was not giving these shows enough marketing to make them successful. And I gotta tell you, I think that's total BS. The reason for that is, the people that are watching these shows, for the most part, are people that are in comic book culture. Now, there are, of course, plenty of people that don't read comics that are watching these, just like when you go to see Avengers. Infinity War. The highest grossing superhero movie of all time. Obviously, that's not going to be the highest grossing superhero film of all time if only comic book readers are going to watch it, because let's be real. At least in the U.S., there can't be more than, I don't know, we'll just say 30, 40,000 people reading comics. That may not be exactly a number, but it's very hard to figure out an exact number because the way that sales are shown on charts and graphs are actually kind of BS numbers. But I think that's probably a fairly good number to say. 30, 40, 50,000 people in the U.S. read comics on a regular basis. Now, there may be plenty of people that are coming in and picking up single issues here or there for whatever reason, or maybe kids trying a book here or there. But for people that are actually reading comics on a regular basis, I would say that's probably about a fair number. 50,000 tops. I want to know what you think about that, by the way. If you think the number is bigger or smaller, I want to know. Because I'm curious how anyone would come up with a genuine number for that. So, of course, you can't rely on just comic book readers to watch these shows or watch these movies because there's just not enough of us. And if 30 million people gave positive ratings on this particular show, well, number one, I don't know how accurate that is because I don't know if these include, like, individual devices, in which case it would be less than 30 million, or if it's actually 30 million uniques. And that's why it's kind of hard to look at statistics sometimes, because statistics are very easily tweaked. Matter of fact, we've had this discussion on the network with some of the other podcasters, because I created an analytics engine to keep track of our listenership. And oftentimes people would be like, well, why is our, you know, listenership for the week this number, but our actual unique listeners this number? And of course, it makes perfect sense, right? I mean, I listen to podcasts on at least two devices, so sometimes those podcasts will account for two different listens, whereas I'm just one person. And that's the same case for any other podcast, right, by the way? And it's the same for any other kind of statistics. I remember taking statistics in junior year in high school, I think, and the one thing that I was told the first week of stats is statistics is in the eye of the beholder, because really you can take any statistic and make it say whatever it is that you want to say, right? This is a big thing now with fake news. So I don't know where this number comes from, how accurate it is, but even if it's like, you know, a third of that, even if it's a third of that, 10 million people is a lot of people watching the show. When you can go to, you know, a network TV show or a cable TV show, I mean, CW shows, for example, doing, I don't know, 2 million per episode, tops. I'm trying to think what the Nielsen statistics are. I think it's like 2.4, 2.5 million on some of the most popular shows. And again, those statistics are not really accurate either, right? Because those statistics are generally done through a survey and extrapolate based on the number of people that could potentially watch the show to the number of people that are in this Nielsen subscription rating thing. They extrapolate that number, right? There's not 30 million people submitting Nielsen ratings. But they might have, like, I don't know, 5,000. And that's how they get somewhat of an accurate stat. But again, statistics are just a number, and I don't know what these mean. But here's the thing. Overall, the viewership of these shows definitely fell quite a bit. In fact, I have some numbers on how much these shows fell. For Luke Cage and Iron Fist, between seasons 1 and 2, they lost 2/3 of their audience. That's 66% between seasons 1 and 2. Now, I don't know if these people dropped, you know, halfway through the season or if they watched the whole season, but that is the drop. And that is a gigantic drop. Gigantic drop. But really not very different from other forms of media, to be honest. I mean, take a look at comics. Between issues 1 and 2, you generally have a 50% drop, I would say. Sometimes more. Sometimes a lot more. But 50% drop is generally, I think, a good number to target for between issues 1 and 2. And there's multiple reasons for that. And I know TV is done differently because you have a large chunk of time that you're spending where it's not just a 22-page comic here, a 22-page comic there. I totally get that. But 66% of the audience losing out on season 2 of these shows is quite a large number. And that's actually kind of sad, to be honest, because I enjoyed both of these shows. I really liked Luke Cage. I really enjoyed Iron Fist quite a bit. I really liked the first season of Iron Fist. I thought the second season was phenomenal. But the problem is, if you expect somebody to invest 6, 8, 10, 12, 15 hours of their life watching these shows, and you don't give them something that says, holy crap, that show is amazing, they're not going to come back for the second season. And I know I'm in the minority with a show like Daredevil, because I actually almost didn't even want to watch Daredevil, because I thought the first couple of episodes of season 1 were extremely dry and boring, and it wasn't until we got Fisk coming in that I was like, okay, this show has real good potential, and that's when I really enjoyed it. The majority of people weren't like that, right? A lot of people started watching the show and loved it from the beginning, and I get it. Different strokes for different folks. But it wasn't for me until we got an actual villain that I wanted to follow, and that made the show interesting. And the same goes for season 2. I thought season 2 was okay until the Punisher came in. I was like, holy moly. Like, this show just got great. But then I watched the Punisher TV show, and I didn't really care too much. In fact, I still haven't finished that season of the Punisher. I have like 2 episodes left. And I think it was at that point, actually, that I started deciding, maybe I don't need to be watching all these things all at once. Maybe I'm okay waiting a little while. And sometimes a long while. I mean, I still haven't watched Jessica Jones season 2. Even though season 1 is, to me, still the best season of any of these Netflix Marvel shows. But I just haven't gotten to it, because there's always plenty of other things. And my focus really is always on the comics. Unless there's something that's really stand out, like the Titans TV show. And I know there's people that don't like the Titans TV show. They feel like this character's wrong, that character's wrong, there's too much violence, there's not enough violence, there's people killing, there's not enough people killing, this character wouldn't do that, that character wouldn't do that. And look, it's fine, I get it. We all do that kind of thing, right? We all feel like a certain character should be a certain thing, and if they're not that, then it's not good. But the show is good. I really enjoy the show. In fact, I tweeted out yesterday, or this morning maybe, about the latest episode, the Huck and Dove episode. Or it was Hank and Dawn, excuse me. And I thought it was fantastic. It was extremely depressing. There was some sexy time in it. But I thought it was quite a good episode. Kind of odd to have it towards the end of the season, to be honest. I would have liked to see it at the beginning, in particular with the stuff that happened at the end of the Donna Troy episode. But I didn't mind it. I didn't mind it. And the thing is, the formatting was fine because... Why am I talking about Titans? That's fine. Let's talk about Titans. The formatting was fine because you kind of got this cliffhanger at the end of the Donna Troy episode that will be picked up on the next episode, Coriander. And that kind of thing happens in comics too, right? We don't always get a full arc coming back to back to back. In fact, back in the day, we used to get even less than that, right? There used to be a lot more one-and-done stories that we don't get now. Because folks back then didn't concentrate on writing for trade, they concentrated on telling a story. Anyways, Daredevil had a slightly lower drop between seasons 2 and 3, but actually not much lower. 57% of people quit between seasons 2 and 3. That's a pretty big number. And again, this 30 million number that we brought up at the beginning of the episode could mean anything, and it could just mean like, hey, everyone's talking about the cancellation of Daredevil, let's go watch Daredevil. Maybe it's one of those let's save our favorite show kind of thing. You guys remember that? I think the majority of my audience is probably old enough to remember when people started doing petitions, and petitions have been kind of a joke within my small circle of friends, and I think Ronnie came up with the joke, let's start a petition to petition to petition to do whatever. But that was a big thing, right? And there were some shows that were saved as a result of that. Not necessarily comic book shows. I think there might have been one or two that were saved that way. But just in general, a lot of TV shows kind of got another season as a result of fan petitions. And we've seen this in comics too, right? What was the one, Omega Men, when that was canceled? I was one of those people that was all about, let's start a petition to save it. And it was saved, not because of a petition, but because there were a lot of people that were genuinely interested in reading the rest of that book. But 57%, even for the most popular of these Marvel TV, Netflix things, is still quite a big jump. Although I would warrant that these shows are still getting much higher numbers than any network TV show is, or any cable TV show is. Because quite frankly, even though there's still plenty of people watching TV and cable and things like that, a lot of the audience is going to more shorter form content, in particular the younger demographic, right? I mean, I have two young kids, 15 and 8, and they never watch TV. They never watch TV. They watch YouTube. They watch people talking about TV shows, and they watch people talking about movies. But they don't watch the TV shows. They might watch some of the movies, but they don't watch TV shows. They want short form content, 10, 15 minutes long. And even that is kind of long on some of these videos, by the way. But that's kind of what they want, right? They want to see interesting people talk about interesting things, or sometimes interesting things that they don't personally experience. That's just the way that the culture is, and I'm not here to talk about that. But maybe, you know, this kind of format is maybe dying for a large majority of the audience. I mean, these kids are still kids, right? So they're not paying for a Netflix subscription or a Hulu subscription or DC Universe subscription or Disney Plus subscription, whatever else. They're consuming whatever content their parents are paying for, but oftentimes they don't pay for content, right? Again, YouTube, or maybe Vimeo. I don't know if people watch Vimeo. So maybe that format is dead, and I know that there's plenty of companies trying, you know, what is like Facebook Watch and Insta, what's the Instagram one, whatever the Instagram video thing is that nobody cares about. Maybe that's what the media consumption is going to look like going forward. Maybe not now, but maybe in 10, 20 years, when folks like myself and probably you listening to this show are maybe in the minority of the types of shows that we want to watch. Like, let's just say Daredevil, because it's canceled! And look, I'm not upset at all that the show is canceled, because, again, I haven't watched the third season. My plan is to watch it at some point, but my focus is always on comics. And a few other things that I really, truly enjoy, that I feel like are 1,000% worth my time, like Titans. Or The 100. It's my favorite show, by the way. The 100. Top three shows. The 100. Titans. Legends of Tomorrow. Love those three shows. Aside from that, I mean, if I get to it, I get to it. If not, whatever. And the funny thing is, even people working on the show were surprised that the show was canceled. In fact, there's some quotes that I saw from various folks in the writing team that said they believe the series was too big to fail. Because, again, they had a large, large group of people watching these shows. And you know that Netflix has to have really great numbers on who watches and don't watches their show, right? So unlike a TV show where you have Nielsen saying, well, your show gets 3 million people a week, Netflix knows exactly who's watching at exactly what time they're watching it, exactly how many times they rewatch it, and exactly what other shows they enjoy that are similar to the shows that you're watching right now. That's why they got rid of the ratings, right? I know people were kind of up in arms when they got rid of the star rating, then they went to the thumbs up, thumbs down. Now you don't even have right? You have like a percentage match. And part of the reason for that is their algorithm, they feel, has gotten good enough to give you content that you will enjoy based on your previous viewing experiences. And it might not be as accurate if you're brand new to one of these things, but as you're there for 6 months, a year, 2 years, I mean, I've been with Netflix for at least 10 years. I don't even know how long. Since they were still, when they were still doing DVDs, I was doing Netflix. So maybe even longer than 10 years. But over time, they get really good at figuring out what it is that you like and don't like. And they can recommend new things. And I gotta say, the recommendation engine for me, at least, has gotten really good. Because generally, I tend to watch very similar kinds of things, right? My two genres are always sci-fi and horror. And so it's very easy to recommend me sci-fi and horror. For some folks that maybe share an account, that's why you gotta do the Netflix profiles. That's how you get the most accurate recommendations. We have a profile for each person in the house. In fact, even the dogs have one because my wife puts on, like, Discovery Channel documentaries for the dogs when we're not home. But even the writers of the show were surprised because, oddly enough, they were already planning season 4. Apparently there's some kind of cliffhanger at the end of season 3. I'm not sure what it is. I think it has to do with the villain of the season. But they were already in the works planning season 4. They had already pitched it. It was already approved. But something happened where the show was canceled. And I've seen many different reasons as to why the case is, but I think there's one reason why this was canceled. It's not because the show wasn't well received, or any of these shows, to be honest. It's not because tons of people weren't watching it, because people weren't liking it, because the Rotten Tomatoes scores were bad. I think the reason why these shows were canceled is very simple. And the simple reason is the folks that are doing Marvel TV movies hate Marvel TV shows. That is a simple reason. And this is not a secret. Not a secret at all. Kevin Feige, I think, has said this publicly several times. I've seen quotes from at least two other executives over at Disney that have not explicitly said this, but kind of in a beating around the bush kind of way, talked about the fact that they don't really care for the TV shows. And there's a very simple reason for that. And the simple reason is when they're doing these movies, they have full creative control of what they want to do with the characters, with the stories, and they can plan years and years and years ahead. With the TV shows, they don't really have this kind of exclusive access to their own properties. And Marvel's been trying to get away from this for quite a while. That's why, you know, when Disney Plus was announced, and I didn't talk about this because I didn't feel like it was important enough, but when Disney Plus was announced, there was talk a little bit about the kind of shows that were coming onto Disney Plus, how some of the Marvel and Star Wars properties, for example, were being handled across other streaming services, right? Because for a long time, Netflix was getting all the Marvel movies. They were getting all the Disney movies. Now some of those are over at Hulu, for example. We'll talk about Hulu here in a minute. But the reason for that is very simple. When you create these contracts that last multiple years, sometimes 5-10 years, and think about the timing, by the way, because Daredevil was originally announced about 4.5 years ago, which means that there was probably a 5-year deal on these things anyway. Although the distribution deal has to be much longer, right? Because Netflix paid for these shows to be made. Netflix produced the shows, Netflix made the shows, Netflix hosts the shows. So you'll still be able to watch all these shows for years and years to come. In fact, I saw a quote from a Netflix executive that said, you will see these things on Netflix for years to come. My assumption is they probably have at least a 10-year streaming right deal on these shows. Which, of course, makes sense because they want to make their money back. And surely they've made their money back on these shows, right? But production cost is very high. You got to think about these. I don't know how much these shows cost, but I've seen some of the CW show costs, and you're talking about like $1.5 million, $2 million per episode on these shows. So if you take the same numbers on these Netflix shows, I mean, you're talking about, you know, $30 million to make a season. That's an incredibly large amount of money, and these companies need to recoup that cost, right? These are businesses. I mean, matter of fact, I wanted to talk about this. What was it, last week or 2 weeks ago when it happened? But Dan Didio said this before about DC, right? I mean, we talk about comics all the time, and of course, as DC fans, we want to give some input on what we feel DC's doing right and wrong. But there's even a quote from Dan. He said, look, DC's a business. We're not, here to provide charity, to give you stories that you like. We want to tell stories that will sell, and I understand that, but of course, you don't really want somebody to say that kind of thing, right? But it's true, so you learn to deal with it, just like you learn to deal with this. And sure, there's people upset about Daredevil being canceled. Maybe not so much about Luke Cage and Iron Fist being canceled, but Daredevil, sure, because it's always been the most popular. But think about it, if you're doing 13 episodes, that's a large investment, you know, $25 to $30 million per season. I mean, how many subscribers do you need for that, right? 300,000 subscribers? 3 million subscribers? 3 million subscribers in order to just pay for this show. That's a lot. And sure, Netflix has gazillions of subscribers all around the world, but it's still a large investment because, remember, these are not the only shows they're putting out as well, right? They have plenty of other original properties. They're always buying new stuff from overseas. They're funding stuff local, but that's how they do these originals. A lot of times they'll just bring in smaller indie stuff or stuff from, man, they've got some really fantastic Korean films in there, like action films and horror films. Korean horror films, by the way, fantastic. Go check a few out. There's a lot of Canadian TV shows coming in because those are much cheaper to produce. I'm assuming because of the dollar difference between the US and Canada. But part of the reason is these are large investments. And I saw a comment made about part of the reason this whole thing was kind of dying off is because Disney wanted Netflix to continue doing 15 episode seasons, and Netflix didn't want to do that. Netflix saw that they were being more successful doing the 8 to 10 episode seasons than doing the 13 to 15 episode seasons. And I gotta tell you, I can't disagree with that. I think Netflix is in the right on this, because I see this not just on Netflix, but overall, where when you have a much shorter season, you have a much tighter plot, and the show as a result becomes better. I remember 10, 15 years ago, if you were watching a season of a TV show, I mean, you were looking at 22 episodes. And there's still several shows, plenty of shows, that do 22 episode seasons. But that is a lot, not only a large time investment, a large monetary financial investment to produce these things, but also much harder to tell a story the way that it should be told. Because by having to, I mean, and this might not be true for shows like, what's the show that I like? Superstore, right? Where it's like a 30-hour or 30-minute comedy, right? Or like The Office, something like that. I'm not talking about those kind of shows, because those are one-and-dones. I'm talking about a show that tries to tell an overarching story. The majority of them are much better between 6 and 10 episodes. And we've seen a move towards this partially because it's cheaper to produce, a tighter show, but being a tighter show makes it better. And I think that's one of the reasons why Iron Fist Season 2 was so good, is because the season was much, much shorter, and they were able to compact the story much better and keep folks a little more interested in it, keep the action better, keep the characters tighter. But Disney doesn't want that, right? Because they want people to come back and keep coming back. And I'm sure when Disney Plus premieres and they bring out these shows, like what's the one that they're doing, Winter Soldier and the Falcon team-up TV show, which I don't really care about. They're doing the Loki and Scarlet Witch TV show, which I also don't care about. I don't know if those are still one thing or two different things. I'll be honest, I haven't talked about this on the podcast. I don't care about any of the shows. I really don't. Will I try them? Yeah, I'll try them and see how they are. But just based on the original stuff that they're talking about on what they want to do with these shows, I really don't care. As of right now, there's really nothing that's bringing me into Disney Plus, aside from maybe like actual Disney movies that my kids will watch. And even then, we own a large chunk of them. We've already purchased them, so I don't know if I really care enough for that. And because of their viewing habits, it's probably not even worth it for me, unless it's extremely cheap. Now, am I curious in some of these like Star Wars shows, like The Mandalorian and whatever the other one was? Yeah. But Mandalorian, yes. The other one, I don't really care about. But overall, there's nothing for me right now that's getting me really excited about Disney Plus. Because my focus, and I'm sure the focus of most people listening, or a large chunk of the people listening, is on the comic book properties. And right now there's Marvel properties all over the place. Right, so you've got Hulu and Runaways and, Gifted is on Fox, but you got the Runaways on Hulu, you've got Cloak and Dagger on Freeform, which is what used to be ABC Family, you've got the Gifted on Fox, you've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC, you've got these four or five different Marvel shows on Netflix. You've got a couple being announced for Disney Plus. They're all over the place. All over the place. And that's kind of odd, because Marvel has done such a great job with their movie properties. And again, maybe it's licensing deals that has caused this to happen. And maybe that's part of the reason why the Marvel movie execs hate all the TV shows, because they want tighter control. And that's why some of these other ones that you're going to be seeing popping into the Disney Plus service, the ones that I just talked about. They're more focused on what the MCU is about. I mean, think about like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is tangentially in continuity, right? Now, we've seen these characters pop up in the comics. Obviously, Coulson was in the MCU, right? In Iron Man and some of the other Marvel movies. But not really any of the other characters. And then whenever you have some event happen, or they want to talk about some character in the MCU, they don't directly say, like, oh, yeah, Thor was here. They're like, yeah, the blonde guy with the hammer. And that's kind of odd. And it really makes me wonder, how do these exclusivity production deals work? That you can't even use the name of a character that's directly related to the agency that you're... I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D.? S.H.I.E.L.D. and Avengers should go hand in hand, in my opinion. But you can't mention Cap or Thor or Iron Man or Scarlet Witch or anybody? And then sometimes you bring in characters that are obviously somebody else, but you rename them because you can't really use that name. It's very odd. Very odd that that would happen. But that's not going to happen in the Disney Plus shows, because those are directly tied to the MCU stuff. And part of that is kind of exciting, but part of that is a little upsetting. Not because I want everything to be tied to the MCU. I could care less. In fact, I talk about this all the time. I prefer when shows come out that don't retell a story that I've already read in a comic, for example. And there's people that aren't that way, and that's fine. But that's my personal preference. So I might be more excited for a Winter Soldier show that had nothing to do with everything we've seen in Captain America and the Avengers on the big screen. That would be more exciting to me. Now, what this means going forward for the entirety of the MCU, that's a great question. That's a great question. I think some shows get a little more leeway based on where they're being put out. So, for example, Freeform is an ABC property, which is owned by Disney. Obviously, ABC, where Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is out, is owned by Disney. The Runaways is on Hulu, which, if this Fox deal goes through, will be, I think, like 70% owned by Disney. Disney has zero say in Netflix because, A, they're not really an investor. I mean, I think they've given some money for production, but they're not an investor of Netflix. They don't own Netflix in any sort of way. And maybe that's part of the reason why this thing is going away. Because Disney wants full control over everything they're doing. And I think what will be interesting is there were some rumors, not really rumors, I think one was a quote directly from a Disney executive and a Marvel executive, that Daredevil will return at some point in one way, shape, or fashion. My assumption is that will be a direct MCU tie-in. I think that's what makes the perfect sense, because now we're getting ready to launch a brand new phase of the MCU, right? We've got Captain Marvel coming out in a couple of months. We've got Avengers Endgame coming out in April. Man, that's really close, by the way. Isn't Captain Marvel March and then Endgame in April? That's very close. Even those two movies, very close, like back-to-back from each other. That's a little odd. I would have expected a larger time frame between the two. But those are coming out, and then we start the new phase. And what better way to start a new phase than with more ground-level characters? Because remember, they just recently announced they're doing a treatment for Shang-Chi. That's ridiculous! I'm very happy for that, by the way. I love Shang-Chi. And I think that's maybe kind of the way of separating themselves, distancing themselves from Iron Fist a little bit. Because Shang-Chi, I mean, you've got a very similar character. Not the same, but very similar with the Kung Fu stuff. And that would be great to bring in more ground-level stuff, right? You can bring Shang-Chi in, you bring Daredevil in. I don't know what's going to happen with Iron Man based on contract with the actor, but you can bring in a character like Riri Williams, right? Ironheart into the MCU. All these things could be very interesting. I mean, you might need a new Captain America, because you can't really have the Avengers without a Cap, even if it's not Steve Rogers. So there's got to be somebody coming in. Will they do America? I don't think so. But maybe like a different version of Steve Rogers or, you know, Captain America Jr. or whatever, something like that. That's kind of the direction going forward. And you'll still be able to watch all these shows. So don't be upset that you can't see them, because you'll be able to see them. But really, I think the reasoning why all this stuff happens is quite interesting. And I think because Netflix has probably already made their money, maybe Disney pressured them to make some changes to the way production was being done. They're like, listen, we pay for this thing. It's on our service. If you don't like it, we can shove it. And Disney's like, okay, we'll shove it. And Netflix is like, all right, the show's canceled. Have a great day. But the show's ours, so it's staying on our platform. Don't you worry, guys. You go do your thing over at Disney Plus. Anyways, let me know what you think about all this stuff. I think it's pretty interesting the way some of these deals happen, some of the way that they go through and not go through. Tell me how you feel about Disney Plus. I'm very curious if anyone's excited for these shows. I've asked a few people. Nobody that I've asked seems very excited for them. Again, this is very early. It's not coming out until next year. But I'm not very excited for these shows. I am very excited for some more MCU, though. So bring me that Shang-Chi. If you want to get in touch with me, Twitter's the best place, at Geekvine. You can email yell@comictalk.today. I'll be back tomorrow with Top of the Pile. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you then.